Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, that 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin sale pro.
Show.
They got me started, lion hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You are listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Nightly Broadcast. Tonight, as usual, will not only be informative, it will also be thought-provoking. On Tuesday nights, just like on Thursday nights, those are the nights that we dedicate our program towards diaspora throughout the Pan-African movement to find out what's going on the mother continent of Africa, as well as the diaspora on planet Earth, wherever the children of Africa are located. So tonight, on Tuesday night, we will continue with bringing broadcast to you straight from the motherland. We will play a clip from Pan-African TV that aired earlier today on the program entitled Good Morning Africa. This program brings some dynamic brothers and sisters to the table to talk about global issues as it relates to African people throughout the diaspora. On Thursday, we will have a very special program on the New African Network hosted by Eugene Talford, as he will be bringing forth a very powerful speaker from the Association of Black Pilots. Yes, Black Pilots. So we have a very powerful team of brothers and sisters across the globe who not only believe in Black excellence and Black power, but we're bringing together Black news, we're bringing together issues, we're bringing forth scientists and doctors from around the globe who are addressing what's going on with the, what's really going on with the COVID and the vaccine. We are bringing forth cases and issues that are going on in our community. There's really not much that we don't cover as it relates to our people on the New Black Panther Party Radio. So please continue to listen, continue to share. We are listened to around the entire planet, sending a special shout out to our brothers and sisters in the many countries on the mother continent of Africa that are listening tonight, as well as to the brothers and sisters in the Caribbean islands, in the Virgin Islands, in the Pacific Islands, in the UK, in Australia, in China, and all across the planet, in Europe, and every portion of the planet that's lighting up on our switchboards to let us know that people are listening. And also we have a significant amount of people who catch our broadcast after we go on and play on the downloads. And there is a very dedicated group of brothers and sisters that do that, and we very much thank you. And last but certainly not least, we want to send a shout out to all of our brothers and sisters right here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, that are on the frequency, that are tuned into the New Black Panther Party, that are committed and dedicated listeners. So with that being said, we want to remind everyone that's listening, this broadcast is not done for free. We actually have to pay to keep this service on the air. So we ask for your financial support to the New Black Panther Party. You can go to our website, which is NBPP, which is N as in New, B as in Black, P as in Panther, P as in Panther. That's NBPP.org. Click the donate button, which will take you to our Black Cross disaster relief page. And on that page, you will see the options of making a donation, which include PayPal and also Cash App. On PayPal, you can, if you don't have a PayPal account, you can simply click the link and input a donation via debit or credit card. So we're going to go ahead and get the program kicked off for tonight. Again, we're playing today's conversation on Pan-African TV, which is a broadcast that is broadcasted out of Ghana. And so those brothers and sisters have some very dynamic panelists. And we will continue to make sure that we bring you all of the best as it relates to information, news, and things that are going on throughout the diaspora. So with that being said, brothers and sisters, somebody just tried to call me, trying to knock them out the switchboard. Let's get this program started. Pan-African TV, Black Power.
I just brought. Listen, Awani is here. Good morning, sir.
Hello, good morning.
And Hajia is also here. Good morning, ma'am. Hajia is dining for the TVP leadership.
Yes.
And certainly, you know, we're all...
Because they have carried water, they have carried a petition. They've seen the difference.
Yes, yeah. They've tasted both of them. they should know the difference,
yes,
by now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Everywhere you go, Hajia.
Right. Hajia, we'll go talk.
But you see, Kwame.
Yes, madam.
Before we start the program, I would like you to give me just 1 minute to do something very, very important.
All right.
To say a very good morning to the good people of Bolgatanga and for that matter, the Apartheid. You know, I told you last week. That's why you didn't see me last week. That
yes.
We're going to perform the funeral rites of our revered Imam. Mm.
Yes, you did.
Who really did well for the good people of the Upper East region, especially the Fafra Traditional Council, Sheikh Tahir, we went and performed his funeral. And I can tell you, everybody, the Alisuna were there, the council, Jania Muslim Council, led by their, is it Khalifa? And my brother is the deputy imam, that's the Naim. In fact, almost all the regional imams were in Bolga to mourn with us. So I want to take this opportunity to thank them on behalf of my own brother, Sheikh Yusuf Umar Mahmoud, who is now acting, to thank the people of this country, the National Chief Imam, the Presidency, the CPP, NDC, all of them were there. Because this was a man who was very peaceful. So I want to take this opportunity to tell the good people of the Upper East Asia, Bolgatanga, we don't want any confusion after his funeral. The man was a peaceful man. People too who wanted to distort history cannot succeed. To bring problems in Bolgatanga is not going to happen. Because we've lived in Bolga, we are, our grandfathers, great-grandfathers lived in Bolga, peaceful with the Frafra. That is why whatever the Muslim community is doing, the Frafra Traditional Council is well represented.
Right.
So therefore, we are all one, and especially as Muslims, so far as we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, so you are one. There is nothing like tribal differences in religion. So please, I'm pleading with the people of Bolga. They should, those rumor mongers should stop disturbing the peace of Bolga, because we resist it. I was born and bred in Bolga, and I'm always proud of Bolgatanga. So Sheikh Tahir, may your soul continue to rest in peace, and all the departed souls. Good morning to my mothers that he left. Streetwise, I went there, went and greeted them, and in fact, the organization of the funeral was perfect. You could see even his own children. They didn't sit for people to go, be going around. They all participated. Sadat and then Mubarak, I say good morning to you. Your sister is here. We will support you people. Whatever it is, we are all the same family, and then we shouldn't allow anybody to come between us. On this note, I say thank you very much, Kwame, for giving me that opportunity.
That's right. That's right. I've seen the story on the front page of the Meridian newspaper. It's quite laughable. Brutal fighting at Kwapim North MPP. And apparently it's...
Who is the MP there?
A certain lady. I don't even know her.
Ekwe. Dokua, Dokua.
Yeah, and I think that she is alleging that the... So it's the women's organizer for the constituency, Awoya Boatsma, who says some party members and executives have been threatened by suspected national security operatives hired by my very good friend Sabia Oku to intimidate them at the polls.
I don't understand why some people don't like competition.
I don't know who's out
there. You contacted somebody and beat the person.
Don't mind now. That's it, you know, the seat up.
Competition is good.
But do you even think that you can?
That's what
I'm going to say.
Please.
You can't. No, no challenge. Now, we need people like this guy in parliament. You did there. What have you done for that constituency? And you know what they are doing? Because you see, the poll stations, elections, or whatever they call it.
Mm.
It's very crucial, though.
Yeah, it is.
But if you don't get the right people, they will manipulate the results, and you might end up losing. Why should even if Samuel who is involved, why should he sit down for you people to determine who should go there? What kind of nonsense?
If you have interest and you don't show,
show your interest. Hey, move him. We're there with you 24/7. That's how we're there with Napoto. You know so.
That's what Napoto is, my brother. An Eslof, you know.
These
are my two guys.
Anyway.
I don't really...
Hadia.
Yes, my dear.
Why is it that we Africans, you know, in the wake of the Russian-Ukrainian war, have all of a sudden, all of them, you know, been speaking with one voice that their economy or the growth of their economy or economies is plummeting on the basis of the Russian Ukrainian
war. I know where you are heading. So if you just leave, I'll
so
just
let me
continue.
Just allow you continue for me.
Yes, good morning to you again, and good morning to my good brother here, Honorable, who I only meet on set anyway. Kwame,
yes,
you see,
madam.
If I hear things like this, I get sick. Even though this morning I had some slight headaches, you know, I had migraine. But I said I've missed Pan-Africa. You know, Pan-Africa, unless I leave the shores of this country,
yeah.
I don't normally want to miss it.
Even then, can you watch it?
Yeah, I watch it and they send me messages, you know. That's how loyal I am to this station. You know, Honorable, if a station gives you an opportunity to market yourself, people know you and so on and so forth. I'm not saying I've not been on different television, but this place, about 550-something countries, 30-something countries in Africa watch. You know, our programs, we go to African countries. Most of the times we go to Nigeria, we go to Uganda, another place to do our woman
job.
You know? So I'm very happy.
By the way, there's a picture of a woman behind you.
Yes, I know.
We always sit here too.
Yeah, I know. That's why anytime I see somebody sitting here,
you get angry.
You know, I look at the person with some eye, and then they say, "Aja, am I sitting on your seat?" I say, "You can have it for today." That's when I come late.
Yeah.
Africa, Africa, Africa. You know, I heard it. African leaders lamenting, talking about the war in Ukraine that will affect. Or that has affected their economy and so on and so forth. Then you see, if you have a continent whose leadership don't always think about the next generation, the next election, that is where you have a problem.
Absolutely.
Why am I saying this? How can we attain, let me take my own country, 65 years of independence. We have gold, we have diamond, we have everything. And then you know, some time back, is it Father Pamabako, or how did they call it? How did they call the he cracked a joke which really stuck in my Archbishop, thank you, in my mind, that a Nigerian who said, hey, he doesn't know what they have, was it Nigeria or Burkina Faso person, who said they don't know what they have done to God. And God is so kind to Ghana. God has given us cocoa, diamond, bauxite, manganese, everything. Then why? He has added oil to us again. Why didn't he shift the oil to Burkina Faso that are suffering? You see? And we all laughed over it. That was at a conference center or something. That was 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember. So, if we are saying that because of what is happening in Ukraine, I heard that about Nigeria always produce over 2.something billion barrels of oil a day.
Yeah.
And we have about 500,000 or something. So Huawei is just in there. And then I don't know whether Nigeria, they have been refining the oil within their country.
Yeah.
Because if you are refining your oil within your country, there are certain byproducts that you can use
to get coal, bitumen,
everything that will sort of support your economy.
Absolutely.
So if Ghanaians are complaining, Nigeria are complaining, so then I ask myself whether we have proper leadership on the continent. Now, we have a situation whereby we only import, and to the detriment of our local farmers, local producers, and what have you. Look at rice. We are talking about more than how many million dollars to import rice? Okay?
I think it's $1 million.
We import everything that we consume from other countries. Meanwhile, we have forgotten that a time will come like this, that there will be war in a part, one part of the world that will affect us economically.
Absolutely.
We sat down idly. We didn't think of how to refine our oil ourselves. We have Tema oil refinery, and they're telling us that the oil cannot be refined. So when we got oil, what stops us from using tubes or some kind of something maybe the machine that is there, if they can make some changes for us to be able to refine our oil and get all this byproduct that we are we're supposed to get. You understand?
Right. Yes, 1 billion. Yes.
You know, we started around 200 million.
Yeah, it was.
And we promised that the 200 million, it will stop, and then 300, 400, and now 1 billion. So now, the government is going to put $2 billion into the economy to question us. 1 billion is going to rise, only rise. How can we sustain the economy? So for me, until or unless we think as Africans, produce goods within our continent, within our country, so that we can trade. I learned this intercontinental African something trade.
Yeah.
Somebody was speaking, one doctor was speaking this morning that there's no cocoa there, so what is Ghana going to sell?
Mm.
So even if we sign onto a convention that we are not going to benefit from it, what's the meaning of that? So for me, Kwame Nkrumah said it. We didn't listen. And we thought Kwame Nkrumah was ambitious. Anybody without ambition, or a person without ambition, is the only person, excuse me, in the morgue. Or, excuse me to say, somebody who has lost his mind. You understand? So, when he was talking about economic independence, because if you have your political independence, even now the political independence I think is questionable. You don't have economic independence. How can you manage your economy, your people, and so on and so forth? You find it difficult because if even your budget, everything that you do, you have to seek clearance from other group of people, then we are in danger. Why don't we say that if we are suffering and then there are certain goods and services that we can provide or buy locally, we should stop the importation of rice, tin tomatoes, what they call spaghetti, which I don't eat because it is not Uzafi. You understand? Or it is not Bayram Pisi. For the next 6 months.
It ain't going to happen.
That's something.
Are we food sufficient? We're not food sufficient.
You see, my brother.
That's the problem.
My brother, go to Fumbisi Valley. Go to Aveyime and other places.
Mm.
There are rice there in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
But because Ghanaians, our taste for...
Just put perfume, like the way you spray perfume in this studio.
No.
Let's spray perfume.
You see, why should you eat rice that is perfumed?
I don't know.
Perfumed rice.
Yeah, I'm not a rice person. When I get
back, that is why you are just like me.
Yeah,
you are just like me because me,
And I like yam.
And do you know, when I went to Mobile, I didn't eat rice. I ate it once.
The only challenge I have is that we import tomatoes from Burkina Faso. That's my only challenge.
Do you know that
when we have tomato, we can produce tomato in Akumadan?
Not just Akumadan.
Akumadan, I think
Upper East somewhere. Yes. You know, no, I wanted to mention somebody's name. I shouldn't do that.
Okay.
A prominent pastor in this country, the mother, that was what she used to educate her children in that constituency.
Mm.
So it got to a time they didn't even want her to do the tomato
again
because she was a very good friend of my mother. Because my mother was selling food.
But it's not bad mentioning it.
We
should tell people that you can actually grow tomato and take care of your children.
Yes, we had a chopper, how they call it, local chopper, and she was supplying my mother with tomatoes.
Mm.
If you see, when it got to a time that her son didn't want her to do that, she would bring a full pan and say, Adia, my son said I shouldn't do it because now, but as for you, I will bring this tomato. She'll bring it to my mother.
Wow.
That's the kind of relationship she had with my mother. But she did well. All her children are educated. That's for him, he knows. You see, so if we are able to grow tomato, pepper, onions,
I don't know why
and so on, I think the Palgu side, they are doing onions there.
My challenge is that, and I'm sorry for cutting.
No problem.
Our land tenure system is also part of it. You know, in Accra, you know our area, transition, you know where the waterlogged area is, where Nkrumah left.
Yes, yes.
You know that, in the future, we might use it for something else. They started growing
vegetables.
Vegetables.
Now it's gone.
They sold all all the land. They sold all the land. Every and all those other places. We used to have some farms.
Our farmlands are
well, that is my problem.
Which is not good enough.
That's my problem. Now,
at least.
I think now we should begin to realize. When I was going to Burkina, no, Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
2009.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Ivory Coast by road. And I was amazed at what I saw. Plantation. Abe.
You know, Atefa.
I was.
You know, MPP.
Atefa.
No, not Professor Atefa. The Director of International Relations, the young man.
Okay.
Atefa, who was the Deputy Youth Organizer.
Okay, okay.
When the mother died, I went to the one with him. We drove through Samankese.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plantation, it got to a place I was scared.
Wow.
Because you won't see any house, but you can see some paths, which means the people are inside
the
Abe plantation, the cocoa.
Is that there?
I said, wow. So I started taking pictures, video like this. I said, so this is in Ghana. You understand? So the long and short of all what I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't blame anybody, or we shouldn't blame Russia, Ukraine war for what is happening in our country. Because I heard one economist talking that this kind of situation we found ourselves, is it 2004 or something? We face the same challenges. That time there was no Ukraine war. How did we come out of it? How did we come out of it? So for me, I think because politicians, and for that matter Africa, we don't have a national agenda. We have a political agenda. Because if I promise that this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, so if I come, even if it is difficult, instead of me to be, say, oh, I said it, but looking at A, B, C, because it's only a fool who doesn't change his or her mind. And I prefer somebody who admits that maybe this is what I'm doing and I think it's wrong or it is not going well, so revise it. It's better because it will yield to the benefit of Ghanaians. So for me, I think there should be some, I don't know whether it's stakeholder consultation. And then we should learn not to politicize certain things as politicians. Ever since I started coming to UT, have you ever seen me talking about fuel or then? No, because you are not controlling it. Even if you're producing, you're not controlling it. So it is difficult. And then you're not even controlling your own city. Your city is still chasing the dollar. Now it's about 7 cedis or something.
Eight.
Oh, it's 8. No, I don't even have the dollar to go and change, so I don't know. So, if Africans in this 21st century will sit down at the round table and be lamenting that because of the war in Russia and Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine, it can affect the economy fine.
Oh, it's 7.32.
Yeah, okay. But it can be a dollar.
It's 7.32. This morning's price.
No, that's, you are talking about black market, is different.
Mm.
Official.
No, that's the real price stuff.
No, this is...
So you see, Honorable, let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to blame Ukraine or the war in Ukraine, fine, maybe four, because look at even our fertilizer. We get it from that side. What stops us from producing organic fertilizer? Encouraging our people to produce organic fertilizer and then give it to, since government is subsidizing the fertilizer for the farmers, a farmer cannot come and tell me that I don't like organic fertilizer because I'm going to subsidize for you. If you don't want it, then you can go away.
Yes.
You insist. But because of nuclear fuel, people don't want to sort of expand Kwame, I didn't. For me, let's think outside the box. Let's look at what will inure to the benefits of Ghanaians, Africa, and then start producing.
Yep.
Let's produce so we can produce toilet roll. The Ghana toilet roll, they say it's not good, they don't like it. Toothpick, we have bamboo in abundance. We are not producing it, we are importing it. Every single thing. Now we have even introduced, is it Indomie or something? I'm not killing somebody's market, but it's a reality. And I learned, you are a doctor. Even to digest in a child's stomach, it takes time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So why should I... You know, you see, I'm also done some small research. Oh, you are. And then you see, you are giving our children some food that, for me, will even change their life. You know, a Nigerian said, it was a doctor. I saw the video. That
I eat Indomie, don't spoil
it. Oh, not for Indomie, I don't eat it.
Okay, go on.
I don't eat it. So, he was saying that most Nigerians are suffering from kidney problem. It's because of the kind of food they eat. Everything processed. Most people don't even eat their local food
anymore.
Again. Why? I ever told you that somebody came to my house, I prepared omoto with Ghana rice. She started eating, Hajia, which rice did you use? I said, I don't like it. I said, if you don't like it, you can really food. Because of you, I only use perfume rice to do prepare omoto. Now, when I was coming from Bolga, I bought some rice here. I don't know how you can, I would have brought you 2 cups to try it.
Ghana rice?
Yes! From Navongo. Rice.
Even me, I'll be visiting the north.
And then the bowl is 15 cedis. The bowl is 15 cedis. Two of the bowls will make more than 5 kilos.
Then
it's not 30 cedis.
Then I'll drive there.
Now the perfume ones, the 5 kilos is how much? Getting to 50 cedis. You see? So why don't you eat something that will even boost your immune system? Rather than taking something that will sort of drain you. For me,
all right.
Ghana made goose. Let's eat it.
Let's eat it. And perhaps that once we encourage that, the usage of that, maybe they will be able to
address the economic crisis.
Anyway, let me remind viewers who are watching us that Amma Pratt and her team of wonderful, resplendent women are coming to UDS Tamale Campus. UDS Tamale Campus. This very Friday, they will be in Tamale, UDS. Is it Friday or Saturday? Friday. Saturday. They will be in Tamale. Trust me. It's the Obasima Campus Store. And I want to entreat all of you, those who watch Pan-African Television, those who do not watch Pan-African Television, those who love us personally, those who do not love us personally, please make sure that you join the Obasima Campus Store in Tamale UDS. Last year, Tamale was superb. This year, it has to be extra superb. Now, for inquiries, if you want to find out about the summit and where it's going to be held and what you need to do, by the way, it's free. Nobody's going to charge you for anything. Call 0274-309099. 0274-309099. His name is Ivan. So call and make your inquiries about the Obasima Campus Store in UDS Tamale. I just cannot wait to be there. Also, I'll be taking my forum for accountability to I'll be bringing my forum for accountability to Tamale. I will communicate the date to you at a later time, but I need sponsors. I need somebody to sponsor my forum for accountability. Yeah, we'll bring speakers together, get a venue, and then we can engage ourselves on, you know, the economy and things that are relevant, etc. Dr. Rani, quickly.
Yeah. Let me say good morning.
The women's organizer. Aspiring women's organizer of the MPP, I think, went to campaign, so she came in late this morning. We'll pardon her because, you know, the work is very daunting. But she's looking very beautiful, as always. Whether she likes it or not, we have started a campaign. She needs to get her money ready. Dr. Nawani has pledged to support you with 5,000 Ghana cedis. No, Kitwebiesa. Yeah, Kitwebiesa. So Dr. Nawani has pledged to support you. Then let's make it 20,000. No, sorry. But we are supporting the campaign, whether you like it or not.
Oh, we support it.
We have to support it. Please proceed, sir.
Yeah, let me say good morning to the viewers of Pan-African TV.
Right.
And also greet my constituents in the local language.
Right.
Mbanemanama. Okay, so I've just greeted them, and this time is the time at the north. They are preparing their funerals. Yes, and I wouldn't be able to be there, but my chairman will represent me in most of these funerals that they are working on. Kwame, the war between Ukraine and Russia, let me say it's unfortunate, and least did we expect that these two highly related persons, personalities, would one day even fight each other, let alone lead to such a high level of destruction. And I'm hoping that the war will come to an end as soon as it's practicable, because the effects go very, very far away from where the war is taking place. From where the war is taking place, we know that most African countries actually were with our problems before this war, and I wouldn't like a situation where we attribute all our problems to the fact that this war between Russia and Ukraine is taking place, and we wish to explain everything that is happening here to related to the war, because it is well documented that by 2019, Ghana, the problems that we are seeing today in Ghana had already started by 2019, even before COVID. It is well documented that we had this problem before COVID, and after COVID, then came this Russian-Ukraine war, and we think that we couldn't have the chance to recover completely or correct the situation, and then this war has come. We are aware that Russia and Ukraine accounts for about 30% of the world total production of wheat and other cereals. And so countries that depend on wheat and other cereals definitely will have a problem. And that is, remember that we use wheat to produce bread. We use wheat to produce bread. So our neighbors in these Francophone countries, they eat a lot of bread. Yes, these Francophone countries, we also take, indeed, but not the extent to which they take it. They take it with soup. They can take it with stew. They can take it with anything. I've ever seen them taking it even with okra soup. You know, so they take a lot of bread, and I know that the wheat production that is affected by this war will definitely affect countries such as Burkina Faso, and etc. I mean, Mali, Senegal, etc. They will all be affected. And so, and meanwhile, all this wheat, most of these countries, they don't even produce them themselves. But actually, the wheat is not very expensive in the international market, and we always import. So our dependence on import to feed ourselves is the problem. Look at Ghana when we started our program, Planting for Food and Jobs. And we intended to reverse our import of rice. Somewhere along the line, when the rice was produced, there was no market. I remember I could see on television that they were just lying by the roadside. And that is the way, the outcome of the Planting for Food and Jobs. And today, as we speak now, I believe that the last week when I was here, I was saying Yamutu, Yamutu, Yamutu to the Planting for Food and Jobs. I was saying Yamutu to one district, one factory, and then one village, one dam, etc. I was telling people that all these things, Yamutu. And Yamutu because we start the program. We try the program very, very nice to read, but its implementation. Yes. We can produce rice in high quantities Then comes the marketing. We've not done the marketing aspect of it. We've not done the it's possibly acceptability within the general public. Say that we produce it, but we don't eat it. We still import what we eat. And as at 2021 December, our rice import bill stood at $1 billion. Why wouldn't our economy be affected? But the agriculturalists are advising Ghanaians that let us move away from the cereals. Let us move away from the rice. In Ghana, we have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We could go to the yams,
right,
the tubers. That's what they advise now, that in order to mitigate the effect of this war, because this war has disrupted a lot of things. It has disrupted the production of the cereals. It has disrupted the distribution and transportation of cereals to their final destination. So definitely every country will be affected. And even the price of oil, the price of fuel, having gone high, will definitely increase the cost of all the cereals.
Right.
So we should move away and rather eat our plantain. Our fufu is there. Then we can always combine. Now yam can be combined with plantain.
Right.
Or we should, if we want to eat our rice, let's eat made in Ghana rice. Yes, let's eat the made in Ghana rice. But that's the situation. When we did planting for food and jobs, we had enough rice, but we're not eating it. So it's just not a matter of producing the rice, but making sure that we are able to market it so well that we eat it.
Mm.
And so, in a nutshell, I would say that let us this world it affects. I know it's there and it's going to be there for some time.
Right.
But our problems are far beyond that.
Mm.
And I believe that the economic management team met and came out that they are going to revise all the flagship programs and ensure that we cut down on expenditure. We cut down on this unnecessary expenditures that we have accumulated. If you take the office of the president alone,
yep,
taking about 3 billion
all right.
Ghana cedis.
All right, thank you.
You know, then we need to look at those aspects.
Okay.
Cut down the expenditure.
All right.
When you want to explain, they'll tell you that, oh, but we have the scholarship secretariat there. We have other flagship programs there. Cut down on the expenditure on flagship programs. If it's a scholarships, if you don't have money, do you give scholarships?
All right.
You know, so let us look at that aspect very well. And then we look at some other aspects, like how we generate revenue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to refresh my memory. How much is the barrel now?
It's dropped to 97.
Haven't you gone to 143 in this world before?
We have been there before. I mean, we've been there.
Even
in Kupo's time, we're there.
Yes, so. And how was it managed?
When the U.S. went to war with Iraq.
Iraq,
yeah,
yes.
I mean, we've been there before.
It's over-dependent on imports.
I mean, there are a number of factors which come to play. And I think that I personally do not like how the economists we have in this country try to justify a few of the things which have led to where we are now. Honestly, I don't like that. Because, look, Adia, it is not the macroeconomics or inflation or whatnot that determines goes on in our market. That's the reality. The truth is that, for instance, Adia, like you said, we've given all our farmlands to
estate developers.
So even if people wanted to farm, because, look, Dr. Nawani, you live in Accra, right? Imagine if we had farmlands, let's say, in my area, for instance, Domi Kwabena, and you can simply just even buy maybe an acre or something, and then still grow up living in Accra.
You're talking about the Kwabena thing.
Farming must only be in the village.
We buy vegetables there. Now it is no more there.
It's no longer there. You see, it's not just about when people hear family, they think that we have to go to the village and get family. No.
Or bring it from somewhere. Or
bring it from somewhere. No.
Outside there.
We should have farmlands. We should have farmlands in Accra so that people who can afford, for instance, those lands can just simply purchase them and then grow, you know. So that's where we are, and that's the challenge. I mean, Ellen, we should not pause for thought, right? When we are placed in a situation where we have to clearly explain the non-performance of African economies and the fact that more often than not, what we do is that we try to blame other people for our non-performing economies as opposed to blaming ourselves, you know, for not putting in place measures really work for our continent. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this severally from Kenya to a few other African countries where they are saying that their economies are not performing well because of the Ukraine-Russian war. Question is, when did the aiming start? You know, and if we are saying that our economy's survival rests with what happens in the West, then it means that to start with, we have failed. Ellen, Ama, Deko, incoming women's organizer for, national women's organizer for the NPP.
Good morning.
Good morning. You look very beautiful, by the way. You look resplendent.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good morning, Doc. Good morning, Hajia.
Hello. Well, thank you, Daniel Romantic Crack and Hofro, the dear bit.
And good morning to all the NPP women organizers,
right,
both current, those that are still
right
on their seats, and those who are also trying, like me, to also come on board. Good morning to every single one of them. I especially take, you know, pleasure when I come here to greet those who are up north, all the five northern regions, and of course, my home region,
right,
Bono and Bono East,
yeah,
OT Volta, because I keep on telling you, you have a huge, huge number.
You've not gone to Western yet, so go to West.
Yes, and Western North, yes. And then let me also take the opportunity to wish one of my political mentors. This gentleman has been one of those who have been guiding me,
Brian,
along the way. No, he's called Nicholas Arthur. He's at Mexline. And he's been good to me, so I have to wish him a happy birthday.
Right.
Nicholas, happy, happy, happy
birthday. Today is his birthday?
God, yes, God bless you.
That's why he's a sweet one, because tomorrow is my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. March bonds, we are very
sweet.
Yeah, especially when he's 22nd and I'm 23rd. Yes.
Mr. Arthur is the older brother of Efiapokua, Bim Lady.
Oh, I see.
Yes,
I see.
That's her older brother.
I see.
Uncle Nick, God bless you.
Uncle Nick.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Tomorrow is mine. Let's celebrate it together over the weekend. It will be nice. Eh?
Unfortunately, he's very his mother-in-law.
Oh.
On Saturday. So
on Saturday.
I don't think he's in
any
Yes, moving on to the last, is it a few months ago? I was here with Honorable Rashid Pelpo.
Yes, you were.
And I made a statement that I blame our current condition. We're talking about the youth.
Absolutely.
And if you remember, I said, everybody, my father's generation.
Yeah, yeah, you blame them.
To 50 years.
Yes.
I put everything on them. Everybody after Nkrumah. And some bloggers picked it up. In fact, Daddy called me and said, I'm a serious. I was like, yes.
The old man?
Yes. Because I was all over. Ghana were picked it that I said I blame all our parents for our current situation.
Mm.
And I'll repeat it again. I blame them. Why am I blaming them? When my father went to University of Ghana, and he was in Sabah, he was in Legon Hall. Legon Hall. From what my father told me, they are next of Legon Hall.
Yeah.
There were just two in the room. And even that they protested. Because their seniors ahead of them were just one. And they didn't understand why they should be two. I hope you know Legon Hall and next. How huge the rooms are. My mother was a Viking. She was in Sabah Hall. She was in the main hall. She had a whole room to herself. In fact, they went on a looter because they didn't get dessert. They didn't get ice cream. That was Ghana then.
Oh.
We are talking about Ghana now. When I went to Lagos in 2001.
Yes.
We were patching. We started the patching game in University of Ghana. Because it was a year group that 2 year groups were combined. The 2000 year group and the 2001 year group were combined because we were doing this change in the education system.
Right.
So it was my year group that did the 2.5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so we joined as seniors. And it was hell. It took about 5-6 years all through my stay in University of Ghana. Every single year, that was when we had the in, out, in,
yeah.
And then it went to in, out, out, out,
yes.
And then out.
And then out, I remember.
The same university. We are
product of Professor Anamwe's research.
Thank you. I'm one of the products. And if I tell you the stress we went through, in fact, me, the first year, I didn't even get a room. So I was driving from Kaswa to University of Ghana every single morning. And that was a time the road between Malam Junction to Kaswa was being constructed. In the morning, we leave home at 3 a.m. I had to drop my mommy off at work and then move to... By the time I get to the campus, the first 2 hours were done. When I'm done, I have to go and pick up my money. We get home at 11 p.m. So I never took my handbags and my books out of the car. They were always in the car. And then you jump in again. How I managed to pass first year, only God knows. But I was one of the lucky few. At least I had a car. So if it becomes critical and you are tired, you can go and sleep in by the kind courtesy of my parents. I had mates who had come all the way from Techiman, from Tamale, and they were in Accra. They didn't have spaces to sleep in. Why am I giving you all this history? I'm giving it to you because if the University of Ghana's expansion had been done, you know, on time, and you know, as we add more people to it, we were expanding. We would not have had that problem.
Yep.
But with the University of Ghana started expanding their facilities after 2001, after those incidents. And it's not just in education. It's in every facet of our life. So the generation that came after Nkrumah.
Very wicked people.
Were they not the cool makers?
Yes, they were. Very wicked people, I told you. Dr. Nawani's people.
Yes.
Yes. Your age mates.
No.
I'm saying, and you know, I'm bundling them all together because we have gotten to a point where we are asking questions. And you are asking questions. You are asking questions about why are African economies blaming others for our
situation. The economic woes, yeah.
Yes. We are, as much as we blame others, because let's not cover it. The West too has been, they've been very, I don't know, how do I explain it? They have been the beneficiaries of our misery. They have been the beneficiaries of our misery. And as much as they have been the beneficiaries, a few people in our system, because of greed and wickedness, have also helped them to be beneficiaries of our misery. And I'm not talking about Ghana. I'm talking about the whole of Africa. And one of our saddest stories is the Congo. The Congo has everything that every nation in the world needs. They have from diamonds to gold to what? Lithium to, I don't know which jasper to sulfur. I don't know which precious mineral. That is not in the Congo. They have forests.
Which one? What
has happened to them? They are one of the poorest people on earth. So the question I'll keep asking, we can do our local politics. We can be jumping up and down and be screaming. We're doing everything that we want to do. But we have to look at the bigger picture. Is this how we want to see ourselves for the next 100 years? That when some people sitting in Russia and Ukraine decides that today we are not happy with each other, we want to
fight.
And then therefore we have to suffer.
It's a problem.
And you will suffer because so far as petrol prices are going up, so far as food prices are going up. And you import everything you eat. All of us are also at fault because we are not here and there. We do not want to appreciate what we have. I get a problem when I see people actually patronizing toffees, sugar and color for their children. We can't do toffee in Ghana.
Oh, nothing is only a toffee.
And our own is even more nutritious.
Very nutritious.
But we go and buy sugar.
It's only a toffee.
Sugar that they have melted. And they have put flavor in it.
Yes.
Sweetness.
Yes.
And we'll be giving it to our children.
Oh, and yes, you know.
But Hadia, how many of us would patronize?
How many of us?
My son is 9 years and 6 years. I have to actually make an effort to go and look for, you know, the brown one, the one that they use the milk, the condensed milk.
The condensed milk.
I actually have to go out looking for these women who sell it and introduce them to it.
Yeah.
And you realize that they love it. But most of us as, you let me finish my talk now. Most of us as Ghanaians, and I'm now finished with our father's generation. I'm coming to my generation and younger.
We are useless.
We have turned ourselves into, I don't know, the sort of class system we want to build.
Perfect.
And today I'm going social issues. Look, we have these old school associations. You know, like my secondary school,
yeah.
We had the St. Joseph's one, we had the Wesley girl, you know, we have all of them. And you'd be shocked at the competition in some of these associations.
Competition?
I swear. Sorry, I'm on national team. I think, because we are all the same year group, and maybe we all live in this Accra, or we live in the same area.
For sure,
they have put pressure on them, so our children have to go to the same school. So whether you can afford the school or not, because her mates are sending their children there, she has to say, and it's, with this one, let me be honest, it's the women.
Putting pressure on
their husbands. Ah. And this, my friend, her child is in this school. Can your husband afford it? Can you afford it? And we are turning ourselves into, I don't know what is wrong with us. And we want to live in certain parts of town when you cannot afford it.
Oh!
This morning I actually came from my own people because we are also continuing and in fact escalating what our parents did.
Absolutely.
We are turning ourselves, and for the men, your friend is driving this car, so
yeah.
By all means you have to drive.
Range Rover.
Seriously. And so we are living above our means,
yeah.
And we are getting, what even kills me is those who have to go and give birth abroad by force. You cannot afford it. You do not have anybody there to take care of you. And if I tell you the stress they go through when they go there, you have no idea. But we have young ladies in this country who do not have any hope of even surviving here, and they want to go and give birth abroad. I remember when I was pregnant with my son, some of my mates told me, and I want you go abroad, at least your father can afford it. I was like, is it my father who impregnated me? For my father to afford my childbirth abroad. My ex-husband and I decided that according to our money, we can give birth in Kolebu, and I gave birth in Kolebu. My child is fine. The second born, I went to give birth to him in a severe government hospital in Kwau.
Thank you. Thank you.
Has he died?
No.
Is he not surviving? And I even got it for free. Those days, health insurance for the maternal care, I paid 50 cedis in 2015. And we have, some of us have decided to turn ourselves into this class society, and we want to patronize everything foreign. Can you imagine? And now, it is gradually. And we have to thank our presidents, all of them, for Mr. Akufo-Addo, who have, you know, inculcated in us that you can actually put on African prints. So if you realize, their wardrobe, the current president, the former president, their wardrobe, they have a lot of African prints, and therefore the rest of us are also following. But apart from the African prints, so why can't you, your house that you live in, why must you buy Turkish furniture? Ghana phone to me. And now we need to come out with the betono. No, I call a bank to be at the home with Via, not the Akoto.
You know the problem?
I taste for foreign goods.
But you see, it's not like I'm belittling those in that space. But woman is coming here. You give the money to the person. Are you listening to me? You tell them, to give you, like, you just produce quality for me. That's how I am. Do a good job and I'll give you whatever you ask. Look, you will give them the money. You won't get what you want. Trust me.
So, Kwame, they have some that have already done it and it's sitting in the shop made by Ghanaians. Let's look for those ones. You walk into the shop, you buy. Off you go. That's like how you walk into those shops selling the foreign ones and you buy and you go. Why can't you patronize the Ghanaian ones?
They should make it nice for patronize.
They are. When we are done, I'll give you about two or three young people who are doing excellent work. And I go back to the jewelry maker.
Oh.
We have jewelers in Ghana. This ring I'm wearing, it was made by a Ghanaian. This passes for any... It's good enough for everywhere in the world. But when we mine gold here, in Ghana, all our gold, and we send it to Dubai. And then they'll go and make Dubai gold with our Ghana gold, and we'll go and buy it and wear. I mean, seriously. And you are asking why we are blaming the West. Yes, they started it. But we have continued. So as for the blaming, I don't see our leaders changing their minds about the blaming. And they also deserve the blame, because what they are also doing in some parts of Africa, honestly, is terrible. But then we also have to think of ourselves. And I always say it, until we get selfish enough, as a country, and as a West African bloc, and as Africa, nobody gives a hoot about us. We have become the natural resource for the world. They want cobalt, they come here. They want manganese, they come here. They want iron, they come here. They want gold, they come here.
They want slaves.
We have more than this.
Of course.
Now people are, you know,
yeah, they call it
immigration.
What can I say? Brain drain or whatever they call it. Mm.
So we train our people here, and as I said, because I'm one of the, I am a pure Ghanaian trained person. I haven't schooled outside Ghana, and it's intentional. My siblings have schooled outside Ghana. At the time, my father was, why wouldn't you want to go? I was like, no. Why can't I get the same level of education here in Ghana like those who are getting outside? But you know the annoying thing? When it comes to job opportunities,
they'll always pick
that person over you.
That's yes. It.
So at the next opportunity I get, I also go and do a doctorate somewhere. What does that mean? What are we telling ourselves? That our own is not good enough. So as I sit here, I'm not good enough. I am a purely trained Ghanaian. From kindergarten to university to master's. I'm in law school, in Ghana.
Do you know Lisa?
We don't put value on our own.
Her mother taught me in kindergarten in Boga. Lisa.
Our education system might have a problem. We are trying to get it to be better. But I can bet it's one of the best in the world.
It is one of the best in the world, which is why we must be deliberate about making it.
I am sure
that it continues to be one of the best in the world.
I am passionate about this thing this morning because I saw a lot of things.
A lot of rubbish too.
With our young people, that really got on my nerves. And then you have some of these people, I term them e-beggars. Nobody has asked you to live the sort of life you're living. You are not living according to your pocket. And then you go around and they have this very nice way of begging things. Everybody is in trouble now.
Many of us have
things to do.
Hold on. Let me.
If you know you cannot live in East Legon, you cannot live in Trasako. Come and join the rest of us at Kaswa. What is your problem?
There's a format that...
I cannot live in Kaswa or Kodenya, and then you come and ask me for rent to pay for Spintex.
Yes.
Hey, me myself, where am I living? And we have people who do not have... I don't know the sort of training they have. You are flaunting your lifestyle on social media. I am seeing it.
Mm.
And you have the nerve to come into my inbox to ask me for rent.
Let me read a message that I got yesterday around 6:25 p.m. When I was busting my brains in the office. Somebody, and I know it's pure format because I've helped a few people and I realized that no, this is format that they use. Good evening, Dada Kwame Owusu. May God be with you, and please, this is so and so and so. I don't want to mention the person's name. Please, I'm begging you in the name of God to send me 10 Ghana cedis to buy food for the children to eat this evening. Since my husband died, things are hard for us. Please, this is my mobile number. It's Vodafone Cash. Please, have mercy on us. And you see how your face has changed. But you send more. That's the whole point. So imagine this person sends this message, and Adia, this is one of the many messages I get in the day. People will send you their certificates. Their certificates. When they are done with CSL, I mean, when they get admission into the universities, they will send the admission letter, they will send the whatever, asking you for money. And then I'm thinking in my head, hey, now, you should say, you're going to try it now. It's not easy. So that's why sometimes I feel for these MPs. But you see, Ellen, you have actually brought the issues, all the issues to the fore. And I think that we all take a bite. How do I want to...
What Helen was saying about false life. Because you want to live above your means. When I left my former house, if I should put it that way, I went and had an apartment that was 400 Ghana cedis. Then after 2 years, they were asking for another 2 years.
Yeah.
I got angry, went and rented a place that was even higher. Meanwhile, I was putting up a place that they took me to court. So I said, even if it's one room, why don't I go and fix it?
Go there and finish the house.
And I've moved in there. But somebody, as you said, can send you a message that his or her rent has expired, so you should have school fees. As for school fees, we have paid power.
Mm-hmm.
But it has gotten to a time that now if they send school fees, I said, who pays for my children?
That's a very good question.
You see, who pays for my children? I'm also a single mother. Who pays for my children? If you have something like the way, you see the 10 CDs, you cannot send 10 CDs.
You want to send more than
you send
about 50
or maybe
80
CDs.
Yeah. 100. Yeah.
There was a day I had some money on my Momo. Before I realized, I've sent about 1,000.
Mm.
And I said, then it's better I take this money and put it in the bank.
Of course, yeah.
Because if they ask for the money and it's on the my Momo, I easily
sell it. Worry. So me, I've connected my Momo to my bank account.
I've connected it. You see, so I ask myself, I ask myself, especially the young ones. Some people will say, I need 100 CDs, I need 200. I said, please, why don't you go and look for a place, maybe because these four stations are looking for hands to work. Even if the pay is 500 Ghana CDs and you are in the same area, you don't take transport. Because if I give you today, tomorrow, the next day, I can't give it to you.
No.
I can't give it to you. You see? And then look at my own community.
You see, look
at the kind of wedding we have. Expensive wedding. And then the person who won't be staying in a single room, you queue in the morning to go to toilet. Excuse me, I don't want to spoil people's breakfast. It doesn't add up. If you have that money to sponsor that kind of wedding, why don't you give it to your child?
Look, Hadia.
To maybe do something with it.
There's another trend there. And issue that you brought up is very good. Because all these small factors, you might think they are irrelevant, but they play very important role. You know, Ellen, when somebody comes to you for help with job, our generation, it also has to do with our generation. Mm-hmm. So the person comes to you and says, this one there, Charlie, I have a job. Which job will pay you, let's say, 500 cedis a month? Okay. The person maybe has nothing to do, knows about nothing. And then you tell the person, Charlie, I can speak to my friend to maybe employ you. And then let's say give you maybe 800 cedis or something to start with. You know that they'll tell you that the money is too small and that they should. When I started work, I was earning zero. Nothing. God is my witness. Nothing. But I gained a lot of experience from what I was doing.
That's what a lot of us don't want.
And now, it is better. Do you understand? So, it is about when and how you start. That matters. Everybody wants to make money quickly without spending time to learn, you know, what it takes to actually... Because even when you get the money, how do you even maintain it? Plus, if you don't have any experience, how would you be able to save money so that, you know, in the rainy days, you'd be able to use that? So we've got very, very
big
issues.
Let me tell you something my father told me.
And then
Doctor comes in. My father told me that, look, you are looking for money, you are looking for a job, but God gives you what you need at the time you need it.
So what do you need?
And he said, as I sit here as your father, if I get $1 million, I know what to do with $1 million.
You know what to do.
An old man my age. You, if you get $1 million this morning,
By evening, I'll be burying you.
Yeah.
Why? Because you take some and go and buy a Ferrari.
Yes.
And put your friends in it.
Yes.
You buy alcohol because
yes.
you've got money.
Yes.
And you'll be jamming on the road.
That is
you'll
true.
Get an accident.
Yes.
So by 6 p.m.,
I'm buying
I'll be burying
you.
You.
That's a fact.
And he's right. Mm. Because the young people, and we forget that life,
most
is,
young people are
life is just, it's nature. Mm. My father started driving a Benz after he went on pension.
Mm.
Now you are 24 years, you want to drive a Benz because you've seen a friend of yours driving a Benz.
Mm.
Where does your friend come from?
Mm.
And we've forgotten that there are some people in this country who actually come from very good homes. Their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents have worked hard and they have money.
Right.
So if you have a mate or somebody you know who is driving a Benz
right.
at 24
yes.
and you haven't checked the person's background, you, that your father and your mother are like mine.
Mm.
My father was born in Kwewu, Shefe.
Mm-hmm.
How he managed through scholarship.
Yeah.
My father was a cocoa farmer
yeah.
to manage to get to University of Ghana to meet, come and meet my mother who was born in the slums of Accra, New Town, to give birth to me. And me, I see somebody whose father comes from, you know, generations of money just because of education and the fact that by life you have met a person in school.
And you want to be,
you want to be like, eh? You cannot. And that is what our young people have to learn. Live within your means. Remember where you came from.
Anyway, Dr. Amani, quickly, and then we'll move on to the next topic. But I'm really enjoying this conversation. We are blaming other countries for economic woes, but it appears that Ellen has actually given the State of the Nation address, which the President is running away from.
Oh, well, I think...
The President
you know,
is running
we,
away from addressing the nation.
You
have done that on his behalf.
You know...
Ah. Right.
We have to learn how to be at peace with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, that is what, you know, most of us, it appears that we think that there is a better world than what we have now. And we think that it is somebody's duty to provide us with that better world.
Yep.
If you look, as someone like me, honestly, I've had the opportunity to, as a young man in my 20s, I spent most of the time outside the country. Was schooling outside the country and then came, visited a lot of people. I went to Canada, visited family there, UK, so many other countries I visited. This Hungary, Bulgaria, etc., Poland. I went to people there and I realized that honestly, all these people that we sit down over here and look at them as if they are living a better life. I'm telling you, you know, the young men here should understand one thing. They are living a life, but not a better life. They can't get the 3 rooms or 2 rooms that you have for yourself
nope.
over here. When they have a car, sometimes they can't drive to town. I'm not talking about the petrol price now, yes, but by the arrangement, they're supposed to go and park their car somewhere else and take the public transport. The public transport, the train or some other things, and move forward. And so if we can... Yes. Let us not think that there is somewhere... The USA, when you go there, you meet your people there, and they go to work. When they are getting up in the snow around 5, to go and come back.
And then they are able to buy their Land Rover, and then you think that
The Land Rover is possibly when they come to Ghana here. Over there, they don't even...
No, that's what I'm saying, that when they are coming and they bring their Land Rovers and the Range Rovers, you think that you are, you know, at the same level. I never tell
them. They even come, and how long do they stay here? They have to put it in the garage. They have to put it in the garage.
Can we hear that?
Yes, that's the whole point. You know, that's
you
the
know.
Whole point. But I think that...
Let us be content with ourselves.
Yeah.
Let us work hard as individuals.
Mm.
If you've got an opportunity to even do 2 weeks in Ghana, pick it up, do it. So far as you are young and you are healthy, that is the time. If you want to look for money, I'm not against it.
Mm.
But look for genuine money.
Mommy,
have
you realized those who
send
the same
problem? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is
yeah.
how they travel. They're all Nigerians.
And most of them are Nigerians. Yes. Look, and Ghanaian will not do that job.
You see?
Look at how much they are making.
How much they are making?
Selling
look,
those things.
Have you seen this? This so happened a guy with a suit.
Yeah, yes.
You see the money he's making?
Yes, most of them
when
are
when I was in school in Kumasi, there was this guy, that time, this Akisiajima was the, this thing.
Mayor.
So he does this ginger drink.
Mm.
That I saw around the trainway, we call it Hanyanjirgi. He come and be there. There was a time I was crossing, then a Kusejima was questioning him why he was selling the thing. Then he started dancing. He put some in the cup. The man should taste it. And so Kusejima looked at him like and started laughing. He did that, did his passport and went abroad. The brother continued because we gave him, we call a place Zauri in the Zongo community before you enter the house, the porch. That's how we call it. We gave it to him at the Zongo there in Kumasi. And that was where he was manufacturing his drink.
Yes.
He was able to do everything. But some of our boys, they don't want to. That's why we have base in some of the Zongo community. You're waiting for your brother who has gone to America for 40 years to come and take you to America, to come and take you there. Why don't you also do something? Do something. Be innovative.
You know,
look at Nima Market. Wednesdays, the way they sell there. But most of the hustlers there are women. The men are rather sitting down.
This matter, I think, like I said, I'll take it up. Foreign accountability will be going to the to Tamale. I'll take these matters out. I think that we need to begin to conscientize the minds of the young people.
I'm telling you.
And somehow we need to realign the thinking patterns of people in this country. Somehow. People don't want to serve again.
We have a big yard in Bolga.
No. It's important. People don't want to work and serve and learn on the job again. I'm telling you. Because you see, Ellen, without service, you won't gain experience.
You don't gain it.
Without service, you won't gain. Look at how many times, and people think that Abujina Paul and he gets opportunity. Do you know how long he served the president? People don't know whether he was the investor.
Yeah.
People think that it's just he MVP to power. He's a minister for this. Do you know how many years they served?
Look at the lady who is in charge of his food.
Exactly.
Fataya.
Ellen, when you serve people from your heart, they see it.
They see it.
When you serve people, they see it. Even when they don't have, but when they don't give you anything, I'm not bragging. There's this gentleman who used to sort of assist me. When the opening came, I gave it to him. Right now, the boy has built for his mom. Listen, he has built for his mom and is building his house. Service, and even to today, as big as he is now, he tells you that, of course, whenever you need anything, just call me, I'll come and do it for you. People don't understand the importance of service. They think that once you follow a politician, 1 year, 2 years, you think that, once you're in power, let's make money. Ellen, do you understand what I'm saying?
I call it impudence.
Of a dying cockroach.
No, that is the word. You know, impudence as in entitlement. We are training a group of young people who feel entitled. Let me tell you something. This world, nobody owes you anything.
Nobody owes you anything.
Nobody owes you anything.
That's a fact.
The only thing that you are owed is that you are born.
Yes.
And if God so wishes it, he wakes you up in the morning. Even that, if he decides he will wake you up, what are you doing?
You can't do anything.
Nobody owes you anything. We have to start telling our children that, and I have to forever say thank you to my parents. You know why? With all the things that my father is quite wealthy. But he'll tell you, it is for me and my wife.
Right.
This is my house. Don't you ever think that it's for you. Go out and make your own. And we are girls, 3 girls, he sent us out. Look, you go, you will break down, things will happen to you. The only good thing you have is that daddy is at home, you can go back. But even then, you go back for a few months, out again. But a lot of us, and I'm still targeting my generation of parents, we are pampering our children so much.
And building houses for them.
So they don't have any...
Our children do not have the street sense to survive.
I agree, the strength to even survive.
They don't have the strength of character.
Yeah, they don't.
How many of them?
Discipline.
How many of them? Look, let's even use politics. I mean, politics. Let me use it. A lot of us feel that you get up one morning and you are sitting on TV and you are talking.
Oh yeah,
you have money.
And some
you have
of us,
money.
And some of our people would insist that because they are communicating for the party, they should be paid.
Yeah.
Since when?
Since when, dear? Since when?
If you don't know, let me tell you. Today, I'll tell you as it is. Party work is
voluntarism. Yeah.
If you know you don't have the time, the energy, or the patience,
or the
to
resources,
wait, or the resources,
don't do
I
it.
Beg, sit your somewhere. So that you don't come into the party and you feel
entitled.
And you have come into power and I haven't gotten anything. Do you know what some of us have done since we're in the university? And we have still not gotten anything. But we are still going. You should have an aim. Why are you coming into politics? If you came into politics to make money, my brother, find somewhere in sex.
But unfortunately, that's the mindset too.
Even if you do make the money, well, the things that goes around it and the car will be bottled. Look at, you see, let me tell you what he's going through as an MP. But young people don't understand that. And we have a sense, and I'm speaking for both political parties because we are friends. I hear from the young people and the way they talk. We just
but Helen, you're talking about this, your two parties. Even those of us who are in office for 40 years, people think because we are in
political
positions, you are rich. I'm telling you.
No, but
I
was on TV.
But I'm telling you. And I'm saying this because of my personal experience. A lot of people think that those of us who are communicating with party and government, we have things easy. We don't. We go through the process like every single party member goes through. I have been communicating to the for this party, at least openly, for the past 3-4 years. And let me say good morning to my director Yapreko. Yapreko called and said, Emma, you can do this job, but you have to go on your own. I said, yes, boss, I'll do it. And there were days when I'm getting up, I'm exhausted.
So painful, yeah.
There are days I don't have to.
It's serious sacrifice.
There are days I am tired, I'm sick, my children are sick. But because I have taken an appointment, I have to come. We have young people, they just go through one step, and we are done. And we have done so much for the party. You do not have an entitlement mentality. You shouldn't have it. Nobody owes you anything. The NDC doesn't owe you anything. The NPP doesn't owe you anything. We are all NDC.
There are only two parties on this platform.
Well, I'm talking for my own.
But you mentioned
the NDC doesn't
better.
Owe you anything.
Uh-huh.
It is your contribution to the party.
That's what
that will make the party what it is. And it's not just in politics. In business. You go and work for somebody for
no, business. Even in family.
Most of us have recommended people who are going to disgrace us.
Yeah, it's true.
You go and you steal. You go and you keep quiet. Things you see in people's house, you be gossiping about it, the women. You go and you be chasing the person who brought you in, her husband. You are breaking up her home. So when it's time to recommend people, we all keep quiet. Because I will not be the person who sent you to my friend's house to go and break up her marriage. And so people will be saying, but what about the husband? Some of these young ladies intentionally.
We see it in Nigeria from...
Rich.
And we are, Auntie Ellen, this is your friend, I want to be her PA, me, PA. So that you go and hear her things, and you'll be coming to tell me. If you can come and tell me somebody's issue, it means you take mine too away.
Absolutely.
So this little training, it's like we have all given up. And we are turning our children into poultry farms.
But also, there's one issue that perhaps we've not affected our minds to, and maybe Ajia and Dr. Nawani, you may want to, because we are talking about the economy. Essentially, everything that we are talking about comes... Look, issue of rent, for instance, is killing us.
No, you see, it's not just rent. Everything is bazaar. Because look, I read something when I was in Bolivar.
A house that you built like 10 years ago, Ajia, sorry, respectfully.
Yes.
A house that I used to rent. People think that, you know, you just started being a theater, you are renting that money. I used to live in Chimen Hall room, self-contained, but it was in a compound house, but the landlord was also living there. So next to me was another lady who, whatever, and I was in a Chimen Hall self-contained. You know, the compound was not nice.
But you're managing it.
I lived there for 4 years or more. I go to my own place like 6 years or 7 years or something.
Oh, yes.
Look, Ajia, When I rented the place, it was 150 Ghana cedis at the time. 2 years versus we are Papa now to a day in Copa Father. Timber and Hall, right?
Timber and Hall.
No, they're
not paying anything to the government.
Ask the man, I said,
in the form of tax.
You don't pay any tax. So ask the man, I said, but the house you built 10 years ago.
Have
you
not changed
all of a sudden appreciated like that? Or you just built the house now? Or the building materials which you used in building the house 10 years ago, suddenly in the building itself has changed. So you have to increase it. How do you get it? And people are struggling. Adia, people are struggling. Now if I tell you how much a single room, single room, without any washroom, nothing, costs. Even in our own village, Kwabena. Adia, you will marvel.
Do you know the people who have taken over Kwabena?
The Nigerians, I know. But you will marvel.
I'm telling you, they're taking over.
NSS posts young people to different places.
Yes.
They go there. And the first hurdle they have to cross is rent. And they are not paying anything less than 500 cedis. And they are not telling them that, pay it in monthly, or maybe every month you pay for it. They say 2 years advance.
That one should be looked at.
How do you...
Do you know, Kwame, we have a house in Bolga. Now there's nobody is even there. So there was this lady who was sent to Bolga. And then when she was going, I said, then you can go and live in our house. She went and said, Hajia, I would have stayed there, but the toilet, what? And I said, but there's a toilet there. Because our tap, nobody was there. So by all means, nobody is paying there. This is so the tap was disconnected. But there's, later on it was connected, but we didn't connect it to various rooms. Fresh water. And going, so I said, okay. And she was going to stay there for free.
Or something.
So some of them too, they have attitude. Me, when I came to Accra first, I've never lived in any Zongo or anything. First was this estate in Teshinungwa, Cocoa Street, that was where I stayed first. Second, Nyanibe Estate. Then before I realized, Labadi, because my sister left for school, so she decided to leave the house she was renting. I was in a single room. I'm telling you, people went through something in this country and people don't know. One day we woke up, the landlady's daughter has locked the toilet. She has locked it. She has taken the key to her mother in, what do you call the place? Adenta. That time I said, is that how this country is? Gradually, I came back to Newtown before finally I settled in Ashoma Estate. So we have gone through certain challenges. So if there's a rent policy in this country, it should be implemented. Because how can a young graduate pay a rent, or even if it's 500 Ghana cedis a month, then you ask the person to bring 2 years. Where is she or he going to get it? That is why you hear people talking about, help me to pay my rent. When the Boko crisis started, I had a long lesson from somebody. That is an Islamic teacher, blah, blah, blah. So because of the Boko, he's leaving Boko. So he's now in Accra. He wants to run. I said, he didn't tell me before coming. He should have stayed in Bolga. Because from Boko, you don't jump to Accra and come and be looking for accommodation. Bolga, I have a free accommodation for you. So at times, it's the attitude of some people too that put them in a very tight corner.
Of course.
Do what you do, that will inure to your benefit. Not because somebody is doing it. Ellen is living in Kafwa. Then somebody who is living in East Lagos will come to Ellen that, Ellen, please, I want you to help me pay my rent. It won't happen.
It ain't gonna happen. Anyway, let's proceed. Now, we are going to talk about free SHM and the fact that the MPP government has now indicated that they intend to review the flagship policy called free SHS. It's interesting because I have on the front page of Daily Post newspaper, they've listed a number of times where the NDC was bastardized for saying that the president should review free SHS. In 2019, 13th of October, the Jonathan Mahama said, I will review free SHS within 90 days in office. Bastardized, obviously. In 2019, again, November 30th, Akufo-Addo alarmed by Mahama's call to review free SHS. Then, 25th of August 2020, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, in attacking John Dramani Mahama said, it is senseless to review free SHS. Now, this morning, we are learning that Kwadwo Okwankrumah has indicated that government is to review free SHS. Now, this free SHS policy is very important because, and let me just, yeah, if you want to look at it, that's it. Yeah, look at, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Yeah, let's look at it. These are, yes, so this is the first time that Mahama said it, the second time Nanado. I don't like the picture that they use for Nanado. It's very disrespectful. So I'll review free SHS within 19 days. Then the second one is Akufo-Addo alarmed by Mohammed's call to review free SHS. Then the third one is it is senseless to review free SHS. Like I said, daily, what's the news for? Daily post. I think it's very disrespectful, the picture that you're using for our president. No matter what kind of propaganda you want to do, I think it's very, very disrespectful.
Yeah, but even as if it's
going to I think they should grow. They should grow. This was when they were doing, they were saying Nanado was not handsome and all those things. These things haven't win elections anymore. So please, I think it's important that you...
But is he contesting the next election?
No, I'm not even saying that. So why?
That's what I'm saying. Is he even contesting the next election?
Yeah, sir, let's get serious in this country. Jokes aside. Let's get serious. If you don't know any jokes, you are doing a very nice story and then you use this picture of your president. This is, you have people visiting and they decide to buy your newspaper. This is the kind of image you are sending out. It's our president, irrespective of which political party you belong to. Anyway, so, speaking of free SHS, when I was in Elmina, and on my way back from Elmina to Accra, I stopped at Mankesimi, and I decided to buy a few things. And we engaged in a conversation, myself and the people who sell on the streets of Mankesimi. And this is what they had to say. Watch this video. We'll come back and continue with the conversation.
Kasiya 3.7, internet to cover to 3.8 and 3.9. Record ni ko fa do the free education.
Ada
ya o de say ya bro bo. Na me so say na.
Ko fu kada ya NDC ni o.
Me ya NDC. Em me to ama de.
NDC yo. E ba isi si ama ni malo kwero.
Ta ma ya malo kwa ni o. Dada, aso for God.
Me
ba ko school o. Oya ma me campa wala me tu bo. Oya mo kwan. Ghana, what the mother went
there?
What's the day? I bought some more when your man does. No, I'm incorrected now. More. It's an opportunity to handle more.
All right.
All right. I'm not sure. Better me say, should they want more of one? And then I'm not, I remember to another. And this is the day I friend and kind of school from on your 20th, 350.
35.
I mean, come, brother, and I will call not for coming.
The best system.
The best system, Papa, I had this. I had
So we are back in the studios, and this is what this wonderful, I swear for God, lady said in Mankesimi. When I asked him about the state of the economy, and he said, "I could find what the LPS is. Why not dying? Helen, should we not review free SHS at this point in time?
To what?
I don't know, but reviewing means that we are looking at the pros and cons. We will look at the numbers. We will look at the expenditure. For instance, we look at how much we've invested in free SHS. Is it worth it? Should we reduce the amount of money that we inject in free SHS? Have we, gotten any results, any positive results from the investment that we've made so far? I think that the review essentially should revolve around these areas.
But
should
these
we or should we not?
Should be done, and I know they are done every year. The managers of the program would have to look, and I know they do it.
Performance assessment is different from review.
They check all those things, who is getting where. So when you talk about review, I don't get it.
It's performance assessment,
and
not
for the purposes of clarification. The information minister didn't say anywhere that free SHS was going to be reviewed. I've checked all the videos he's put out. I've checked his Facebook page. He's been asked. He didn't say that. What he said was they are going to be cut, and that was announced, that all government is going to cut expenditure by 20% across board. And definitely all these flagship programs are also going to experience some of the 20% cuts. The first flagship program that has given indication of how they are going to deal with the cuts is the school feeding program. And according to the caretaker minister, Madam Cecilia Dapa, they are not going to do an expansion this year. Why? Because every year, free school feeding expands the children. You know, the children, they add on to it every year by 30% or so. So this year, 2022, there's not going to be an expansion. And I'm sure the other programs would also come along with what they intend to do to, you know, take care of the 20% cut. But that does not mean that CSHS is going to be cancelled or is going to be stopped. I don't think
it will be stopped. Let me just read what has been put in the newspaper, maybe for the purpose of clarity. So it reads, government is set to review all of its flagship policies. Information Minister Kojo Okonkoma has said, quote, all the 16 flagship programs are up to be looked at. The president has directed that the flagship programs should be protected and fully implemented to ensure that the impact is achieved. However, he wants it done within the constraints of item number 2, which is the fiscal framework we are working with. If based on the caps that we are working with, we will have to rescope a particular flagship program, we will do it and see how much we can achieve, unquote. The MP told Accra-based City FM on Monday. So I think that it is by reason of this, which is why they've come out to say that. Yeah, but look at all 16 flags. Okay.
He said that, everything on the table, all flagship programs will be reviewed, etc. And I think that, no, that it will be reviewed doesn't mean that, all of them, he didn't separate SHS, but that it is part of the whole thing. Review, and I believe that they even wanted to know specifically whether free SHS is part of it. I don't know whether it was upon Kuma who said, but they said everything, they were going for the meeting, everything is on the table for discussion. So let us understand that, yes, if you look at the amount that has been spent on free SHS since its inception, over 7 billion has been spent on free SHS since its inception, and the expenditure continues to go high. You realize that its contribution to overall expenditure is not something that we can overlook. And I'm not saying that, I don't know how they are going to review it, but all the flagship programs, sometimes we spend as much as 270 million on planting for food and jobs. Sometimes, look at the tax waivers that people who enjoy this one district, one factory get. The amount of tax waivers that they get. Sometimes it's as much as also 3 billion. If you look at One Village, One Dam, practically very sorry work was done. Most of them did not even survive the dry season. If you go to Nab Dam, about 8 of them that was dug, 3 of them are already dry as we speak now, and their dry season has not yet come. To continue like that, you realize that we really need to sit down and look at the whole aspect. People are not satisfied with the services or the gains from it. Let me tell you, I met some pharmaceutical companies who are part of the One District, One Factory, and the agreement they have with government is that they could borrow from some listed banks, and you go there on your own balance sheet. But when you borrow, it's at 20%. You pay 10%, and government will pay 10%. So most of them, they went and borrowed. They are paying their 10%. But for practically the whole of last year, the government has not serviced its part of the deal.
Mm.
And so the banks are now on their throat.
No, what should they be on their throat? It's the government that signed that portion.
Please.
What
should be on their
throat? Please. You know, when the government has signed, the government is not bringing, but they know the one who came for the loan. And so the pressure is now on them. And they're not happy. And they're saying that without the government saying that it will pay half of the interest on the loan, they wouldn't have made that business decision. And I agree with them. I agree with them because, 10% is different from 20%. If I'm supposed to pay 10% on a loan, possibly I might go for it indeed. But if it is increased to 20%, which is practically double the interest that I'm supposed to pay, then I will have probably also looked at other aspects of it and see whether really within that short to medium term I can raise that amount of money. So that the people who are involved are not happy. CSHS,
they should talk.
Yes, they're not happy. You can't, I'm telling you that a lot of people are not happy with most of this one village, one dam. If you go to those people who are supposed to enjoy from it because they do it for people, and you see what has been done. There's some excavation, you know, very, very shallow. And during the dry season, when they need the water is not there. The rainy season, the water is there, but it's dangerous for even their animals because some of the animals will run into it because there's no boundary. Some of them, they run into it and they're not able to come back. The mouth will catch them and then they just remain there. Some cows have died. Even some human beings have died initially from it. So if you look at all these, I mean, passive programs that every year they a certain amount of money is allocated for them, in fact, only a fool has not changed his mind.
Absolutely.
Only a fool has not changed his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all this is coming from the implementation of these passive programs.
Something must happen.
Yes.
Certainly.
You realize that this tax, this thing, they'll package it for you. Mm. You realize that it's been abused for some people.
Right.
This tax, free tax for being part of it.
All right.
You see that money, some of these loans, etc., you'll be looking through the list, you see one hotel that finds itself there. You know, you want to ask, how come that the hotel too is there for one district, one factory? One district, one factory. And the explanation is not coming. You can now raise your question, etc., and you still not get an answer.
Okay, thank you.
So it is the implementation and the abuse and then the amount of money.
All right. Okay, thank
amount
you.
Of money.
Still on the way, let me take you home.
Thank you, Doc.
Mm-hmm. You see, the issue about this flagship program, I think it is incumbent on the government that implemented it to look at it again.
Mm.
As Honorable rightly said, it's only a fool who doesn't change his or her mind. Mm. During the implementation or the introduction of the flagship program, how was our economy? We have to ask ourselves. And now, so if there are challenges, I don't see anything wrong with looking at it again. Whether is it free SHS, and then planting for food and agriculture, one village, one dam, one district, one factory, and so on and so forth. Kwame, we are in an era of global crisis. Some people are saying, fine, even abroad, they are, but because of certain mechanisms that have been put in place, it has been able to cushion them not to have the effect like as we are having it in Ghana or in Africa. What am I saying is the transportation system is working very well. Maybe food is there.
You can see,
but Ghanaians use almost 60 to 70% to take transport and then food. That is why we are feeling the pinch. So if the government of His Excellency, Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, who introduced this flagship program, are saying that we need to, I don't see anything wrong with
them saying they want to review it. But I want to pick on something that Honorable said about these pharmaceutical companies that have been giving loans that they, they should take 10%, government will take 10%. The banks have no business to chase those pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Because they have done their part. By all means, there should be some documentary documents that the government has signed its portion and the company has signed its portion.
Mm.
If the company has have done this, so the bank cannot be chasing the pharmaceutical company and saying that they've not paid this order. Because I had one doctor, again, I'll quote him this morning on PCFM, saying that looking at what that one thing that he'll praise this particular government, I'm not in that industry, so I don't know, is the pharmaceutical industry that the government has supported. I heard him this morning, unless of course he's not saying that, but I don't know anything about him. That gradually, Ghana will become the highest producer of pharmaceutical listen, in West Africa. He said it. So the pharmaceutical companies who are facing challenges, why don't they go back to the drawing board and tell the government what they are facing? Because we are hearing a different story here in another story, so there's no synergy. If there's a problem, let's solve it, because I think I prefer buying Ghana produce when it comes to medicine, because I know that, again, even though I cannot say 100%, will not put anything that will not will affect the health of his own people.
Right.
Because if you do it, then we'll all die. Who will buy your medication again? But what is coming from China, we don't know the composition. It's only written. So for me, I think all boils down to leadership, for leadership to take the right decision. This is, we said it, but now there are challenges, but maybe planting for food and jobs, this is how we want to review it. Free access, this is how we are going to review it. This is how we are going to review it. And then finito. After all, I'm told even tuition fee is already free long time ago. So what is the government paying free that our children are benefiting? Some people are even saying, I didn't ask you to pay my child's school fees, why are you paying? But I'm telling you, this program has helped so many people. No matter the challenges, it has helped so many people. So me, I'll plead with the government, if they're going to look at all the flagship programs, as for the free, they should leave it. They should leave it and look at other ones, because the rural community, even the urban, most people have this. So maybe if they said it's free education and your child is in Wegehe and you think you want to help Wegehe with some amount, you can donate 1,000 cedis every term to the school to help it. We can be innovative. We can change certain things and make sure that our children go to school and then learn. Because for me, anybody who is going to say that they should stop free SHS, I'm telling you, some people will cry.
Sure.
Some people will cry because some people, children are in the secondary school, even though there's a challenge. For me, let's look at it again. Why me? I went to Boga Secondary School, and all my teachers, most of them were from the south. Why don't we look at it this way? Maybe if a child is from Cape Coast, we shouldn't push the person to Bolgatanga. Because now there's economic hardship. Because even if it's free, the transportation from here to Bolgatanga is another factor. Let's look at where we post the children and the school fees. There's some parents who will say, no, this is where I want my child to go to. Look at the boy who was carrying firewood for his mother. Is he in Eastern Region?
Mm-hmm.
He had 8 months. He didn't go to Wege. Yes, he didn't go to any first class school, let me put it that way. But he was able, it is the determination of the child, guided and maybe helped by the parent. And in this case, the parent was even a farmer. So for me, flagship programs to be reviewed, I'm for it 100%. But minus...
Three
SHS.
All right. Thank you very much, Adya.
Yeah, that's what I mean, if there's supposed to be a cut, I don't think any one of them should be left.
Well, one of them...
Those who have finished their purposes, like the dam. That's what I'm saying. Some can be cleared.
Yeah, but do you know my problem?
Yeah.
My thing is that if, like you're saying, that the one village, one dam is done.
Yes, from what...
It means that we're not even committing any funds to it. So whether it's there or there, it doesn't affect anything.
No,
Please, you understand me. Yes, so...
planting for food and jobs. I heard that some of the subsidies are going off. Subsidies on fertilizer has gone down or something. I heard that last week.
You didn't hear when we're talking about organic fertilizer.
That was, yes. So
that is cheaper.
But some of the farmers prefer the imported ones.
The reality is that, because Russia is the highest producer of fertilizer.
And Russia is in
there's conflict. So I get it. But you see, it's about, I don't know, but what is our priority as a nation? What's our priority? Is it just about education? Is it agriculture? What is it? So I think that if we understand what our priorities are...
We need to reduce expenditure without compromising quality. That is...
But the government sector, the appointees, they want to cut the salary by
30%,
which is good.
You see, the point is that it's not about people just cutting their salaries. Because, Ellen, as we're sitting here, if they cut down their salaries, and we are not able to put the money to good use, of what benefit or relevance is there? Cutting down of you, do you understand what I'm saying? So it's about what the policies are. What are the sustainable? What is the sustainability plan? Because I've realized that every single time I say this, from Mahama to Nanado, they will have the best of policies, the best of ideas. They can implement it, but there's always not a sustainable sustainability plan. I don't know if I've observed it. They will implement a thing, but how to sustain it is always a challenge. Till today, we don't have a national youth policy. Till today.
Oh, but we launched something.
We do not, as I'm telling you, because you know I'm very passionate about the law. So I follow those things. We don't have a national youth policy. So I ask myself,
so it's a party.
Yeah,
so
how do we now feed the challenge of the youth or what we can get the youth to do into the national plan, even if we don't have any national plan? In all of these conversations that we are having, how have we made relevant the plight of the youth and what they can? Because we have like over 300,000 students being churned out from the universities. They come out, they do their national service, and then that's it. So is that what it is for us?
Have we looked at the educational system and then
absolutely, and how we can absorb these people? The earlier we admit that there's a fundamental problem, let's now build it again. Let's break down the foundation. Because it appears that the foundation is weak. The foundation upon which Nkrumah built this nation. It appears that if Nkrumah wanted to build a story building, now we have decided to build two bedrooms. So we are utilizing the foundation.
That's why I'm with Ellen when she said after Nkrumah should blame everybody.
But that's
blame all of us.
So I don't know. We must just admit, and I think that look, the NPP should be able to do this, even though they didn't do that when NDC was in power. They were not part of this stage, whatever, right? But I think that this is the time. They should bring all the political parties together, irrespective of whatever. Bring them together. Let's forge and carve out a plan that is workable. How do we build on what we have, or how do we now, you know, bring down this foundation and build it again? Otherwise, what we are doing, Adia, the people who are on the street of Accra, who sell Dolce, they are an army in waiting. And I always say this, we don't wish for such things to happen. But it will get, there's pressure, Adia, there's so much pressure. Look, every single person that I talk to now, they tell Kwame, there's pressure. Even people who can go and, you know, because it's when we get access, that's when we buy from the people on the street. You know, not so. When we have access, then we'll buy.
It's better than any...
I get it, but we need to... You see... The foundation is weak.
Kwame. We
I think you are done with your foundation.
It is very, very...
I didn't do...
It is.
You finished, and then I came to Dr. Nawani.
Yes.
Oh!
Let me just...
One line.
Look, whatever
this VSHS policy, doctor is here. The way it has saved our MPs or people knocking on their doors for secondary school fees and chop box and all manner of things. When you review it, And I don't know what will happen with the review. We are still looking at it. And we get to a point where parents would have to pay again. Let's get ready.
Yeah, but the point is also that, you see, even with this place, the people are still paying their worth accommodation. Like the woman, and the transportation. It's not a joke.
I for experience said it was there, but
unofficial.
Mm.
Yeah, because practically, my children went through it. One went to Achimota, the other one went to Wesley Girls. I know what, used to happen. But the issue...
Why didn't they go to Nabda Secondary School anyway?
The issue... Nabda will pick up and then they will go. The issue...
You could have made Nabda pick up.
Yeah.
The issue is that... If we think we have overstretched our budget when it comes to education, I'm just thinking, why don't we review it and then increase more day school than boarding?
Yeah, well, I agree. It's another strategy
because it will look in Europe, in America, they go by bus and then they go to school and then come home.
Those are not good. All those things, so are they?
No, I'm saying we should limit the boarding.
I get it.
To the community day school.
But Mama started building those communities. They should have just continued rather than the propaganda.
I don't know.
They could have just simply continued. Even if the guy didn't build it.
I'm of the view that every unfinished project any government should be continued.
Yes.
Muhammad did not use his pocket money to build those buildings.
They are
because we are paying those loans for those loans. So why don't we continue it?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Rather than going to look for new money to go and build new ones. I'm not for it. Because I'm still bitter.
Yeah.
Nkrumah's project that has been abandoned so many years ago.
We need to form an open and legal partnership.
I'm telling you, Charlie.
With the parents. To ensure that free SHS succeeds. And we need to sit down and, when I say partnership, we talk to them. Because, let me just give an example. In Wesley Girls, for example, parents were ready to pay.
Mm.
Headmistress was afraid.
Okay.
Not all parents.
Very good. That's what I'm saying. It's partnership. In partnership, you all talk. And agree
on a certain thing.
A certain thing.
Which is workable.
What you do? What about those who cannot pay? What do you do to them? Then all these issues are resolved. So that it becomes open. It becomes something that everybody knows. That this particular student, probably his parents cannot pay. So she's not part of it. So that it becomes open, a partnership that will enable everybody feel free, and not that everybody. Some people feel that they will criminalize, should in case they take any independent decision. Indeed, it was so difficult even for the school authorities when money is coming to them to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long run, it appears that everything was so haphazard that you only pray that your daughter or your son or something should finish school and come home.
Time up. Thank you, Adia. Thank you.
Are playing on
Friday. Yeah.
And then I learned it was yesterday that the father of me made the song. Because I listened to peace and I was very sad. I was very, very sad.
Hmm.
Because they said they were having an app that you can go and download.
Like
and
taking all of us away, right?
I'm telling you, this is what's the name of the case? Something.
Leadership or business.
I'm saying that
the arrogance is too much. But they are watching what the politicians are doing. They should just dissolve GFA, dissolve everything.
And
Papa
Milo left, they didn't go with him.
But we're advocating for
him. Yes, and he went.
I'm saying that.
I don't know why
I'm saying that, Ellen. I'm saying that we must just...
They have some level of autonomy.
We must just collapse everything and rebuild it. Anyway, thank you, Ellen Amadeko. Incoming woman organizer of the NPP. Dr. Rani, thank you. Adi Andatu Ibrahim.
soon to
soon to leave the CPC into 2024. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Thank you for watching today's edition of Good Morning Africa. My name is Accountability, Probity, Every Clinton. Okay, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.